So today's daf is daf peites. The Gemara has been discussing the takanas usha. There are a number of different takanas, but our particular takana we're addressing now is, just to review it again, is that in usha there hiskinu ha'isha shemacham, reciting from peiches mebe, just for a moment, the takana was that a woman, ha'isha shemacha b'nichse mulug, she sells off the nichse mulug b'chai baila in the while her husband's still alive, so lokeach buys it, and then mesa, she dies before the husband dies, so then the baal's motzi miyad halakuchos, the husband's able to take that money, they take that property away from those lakuchos if she dies first. He has some strings attached to this property, which she sells, and then she dies, he's able to yank it back to his property. That's a special takana they made in Usha.
That's what discussed the question. She was giving property to her son, right?
The whole halacha was also the father and son selling properties as well. The son selling property before the father dies. Right. That's how he brought up similar. They're different cases. But the Gemara had thought they're very similar in terms of someone having a certain kinyan, a partnership, selling their chelek. So that's the takana of usha they made with regards to a wife selling her nichse mulug. So the Gemara now says around 9-10 lines down in Peites Amud Aleph, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Tovas hana hoil v'asal yadan neima b'milsa. Since it on topic about Tovas Hana, the ability she could decide who to sell and give the ksuba to, and the nichse mulug to, rather, let's say something else. I want to tell you something else related to Tovas Hana. So the Gemara says, Tovas Hana li'isha havia. The Tovas Hana, the ability to decide who to give to, that's up to the wife, meaning what? Because the isaka daitech labal have, if you would think the Tovas Hana is for the husband, so then we were talking about yesterday, Adam Zomim. So limri lo edim my afsidanich. What did I cause you to lose? I havas mezavnas la l'tovas hana bal havas shakel minach. So what's going on here? So he's, even if she sells it, if he has the rights to tovas hana, he gets that card. So let's say she has a ksuba and she wants to sell it. The whole mission makos, where she says it's kind of an investment. It's like a life insurance plan. So she says, listen, there's a percentage that I'm going to collect it if I get divorced, if my husband dies, so then I collect the ksuba. That's two or three options I'm getting it. If I, as the wife, die first, then I don't collect the ksuba. Do you want to buy the rights to my ksuba of the two-thirds chance of me getting that ksuba? So he buys it and she pays her. So if you assume that the husband gets that tovas hana that she just sold her rights to, that really the husband gets to keep it, so then the Gemara says, yesterday we spoke of Adam Zomim, so what's the loss if she sells the property? If he's getting the money anyways of Tovas Hana, there's nothing to talk about yesterday, so therefore we're proving that she actually does get to keep the Tovas Hana. She has rights to it, and that was part of the discussion yesterday.
Why does it keep the other one? But Adam Zomim, they're saying that the husband gets it. That's right. We're saying Tovas Hana, she gets it.
Correct.
And we're saying this, without this raya from Adam's own,
we're saying she has to get it, because if the husband were to be getting Tovas Hana, so then yesterday's case of when we spoke about the Mishnah Makos of the Adam Zomim, so then we would have said when she sells it doesn't do anything, he gets the money anyways. The only reason why there's a discussion yesterday about the Adam Zomim was because she keeps the Tovas Hana. So that's the proof. So should we see from here clearly that she keeps the Tovas Hana, she has the right to sell it. You would have thought. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shalman Mishum Dika Ravcha Milsa. Not true. Ravcha Beza, rather. It's possible that really the husband gets to keep Tovas Hana. But if there's more money in the house, even though it's not hers, but there's more money in the house to be used, that benefits her somehow. It's buying more food, whatever else it is, it's going to benefit her in some way. So still, she does, even though it's Tovas Hana to the husband, it's still Shayach to her as well. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava Hilchza, the bottom line is, how do we paskin? Tovas Hana li'isha, that she gets to keep the Tovas Hana. Ve'ein habal ochel peros, and the husband doesn't eat the peros. Because sometimes we say, let's say she owes the husband some money. So we say, no, take the money that you own, buy property. So you have the title, you have the kinyan haguf, and any produce will go to the husband. We don't apply that to this case of Tovas Hana, where say the $100 you got for selling your ksuba, buy land with it. We don't say that, my taima. Pira takinu le rabbanan. Pira de pira lo takinu le rabbanan. The Chachamim established that the husband gets to collect peros, the first produce of whatever the keren is. But a produce of a produce they didn't allow. So she gets the ksuba. Now she sells it. That's one level. The tovas hanah is one level peros. Now to create peros from that tovas hanah, that's already too far removed. Peira de peira, lo takin le rabbanan. They did not establish for the baal to accept. So therefore she's able to keep the money and doesn't need to buy property on her own. Okay. Kiyasir Apapa Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Mibarav Amri Tanina, and the Mishnah says, the Takanas Usha, Tanina the Takanas Usha. This Takanas Usha is actually found in a Mishnah, this concept. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah from the other day. The Mishnah says, Ha'evid v'ha'isha pigiyasin ra'a, person who encounters an evid or a wife who encounters someone who encounters one of them and gets into a fight, it's bad news for you. Because achova behem, if you hit them, chayiv, you need to pay back the woman or the evid. But heim shechavu ba'acherim, that they, if were to hit you, they're potter, they're off the hook. So you're going to be always losing out. So v'yishaka daitach lesla tekanas usha, had there not been a concept of tekanas usha, meaning a woman is allowed to sell her nichse malug, and the husband has no strings attached to it. So then why? If I get into a fight with a woman, I punch her in the face, so I should say, Tazbin nichse malug, and then she punched me back. So we say, you should sell your nichse malug. She has full rights to it. So let her sell nichse malug, v'titin la, and give me back the money. So the fact that we don't suggest, it tells us, even when she sells her nichse malug, it's not hers, it's still her husband's. That's the kind of usha. And that's why when I get into a fight with her, then she doesn't owe me any money, because it's all her husband's. Fine. So that's what we see already in the Mishnah, such a concept of Takanas Usha. So Gemara says, wait a second. According to your reasoning, Nihinami the Isa of Takanas Usha, granted, we hold the concept of a Takanas Usha, but Lomatsi Mizabni Lagamre, so she can't completely sell off her Nichse Malug, but Tabze Tazbin Le Nichse Malug B'Tovas Hana B'Titin La. She has the right to do the sell Tovas Hana, meaning she can't sell the actual property. But she could say to somebody, the person, there's a possibility my husband might die early, or he's going to divorce me, in which case I'm going to get all that nichse malug. And there's a possibility I'm going to die early, and then my husband will keep it. So I'm going to sell you the rights to nichse malug for $100, and the possibility that you might be able to collect nichse malug in case my husband divorces me or he dies. So let her sell that tovasana, those rights. So why don't we suggest that even if you hold them to Takanas Usha, she could still sell the rights. Why don't we suggest it? So it must be, since we don't suggest selling the Tovas Hanah of Nichse Malug, must be Ela Delesle. Hachanami Delesle. It must be a case where there is no Nichse Malug to talk about. If there were to be Nichse Malug, so we would say sell the Tovas Hanah. The fact that we're not suggesting it must be the person you got into a fight with, this woman, she has no Nichse Malug to sell. She can't sell the Nichse Malug, she can't sell the Tovas Hanah, that's why there's nothing. But if there were to be Nichse Malug, we would make her sell at least a Tavas Hanah, if not even a Nichse Malug, to pay back what she owes.
The husband can't block that sale.
If we hold Takanas Usha, that means if she sells it, so I can't keep it because he could always just pull it back from me.
Right.
If you don't hold the Takanas Usha, then she's allowed to. But the Gemara is saying, even if you hold up Takanas Usha, where the husband could pull it back, she could sell at least the rights for the Nichse Malug in the situation where the husband dies earlier, divorces her, where she keeps the Nichse Malug. So say, I want to invest in that relationship. I see they have a bad relationship. Well, the husband's very, very old. I'm going to buy the rights to the Nichse Malug, hoping that he's going to die and I'll get that Nichse Malug. In life insurance investment, that's in essence what it is. The Gemara concludes, the fact that the Gemara doesn't suggest this at all, the Mishnah doesn't suggest this, must be there's no Nichse Malug to talk about. That's the El Kimta.
It's like buying futures.
Yeah.
That's what it is. People buying it. It's
yeah.
Business life. Right?
Sure.
People buying policies.
Yeah. Fine. So then the Gemara says, okay, fine. Nichse Malug is out of the picture. So we do know that we paskin above that she's allowed to sell the rights to the ksuba. So I'm going to sell the ksuba for $50 in the situation that I get, you get to collect on that. So make her sell the ksuba to pay back the damage she owes the person she hit. So the Gemara says, no, that she can't do. She can't sell the ksuba because Hamani Rabbi Meir he damer aser lo la'adam she yishe es ha'ishto afil sha'achas blo ksuba. So there's an iser for a husband to stay married to a woman if there's no ksuba. Taima what? My. Kedei shelo tehekala be'einav lotzio. Because if he knows he's not losing out, he'll just divorce her. It's like, you know, we got into a fight today, I don't owe her any money, so I'm going to divorce her. So therefore we make that her, she has to always have a ksuba. If there's no risk involved for the husband, he'll just always divorce them. And nowadays, since the amount of $100 and $200 is not that much money, the 200 mana, you'd be many situations where they add on money in the ksuba. They added in. I was once at aid ksuba at someone's wedding. Rav Kelmer from West Hampton was the Masada Kedushin. And so he's explaining to the chassan everything that's in the ksuba. He's supposed to understand what's written there. And he beefed up the amount of the ksuba to make it a lot more money than it is. Because to make it more worthwhile that a person shouldn't divorce their wife because it's a small amount of money. Fine. So then, so it's asur. So you can't sell the ksuba when you're married. So the Gemara says, "Bahacha lo megarishla," but here he's not going to divorce her. Why? Di megarishla. If he does divorce her, also hanach dezavne gavi le ksuba mine. So here, so exactly. So he's not going to protect it, even though she's not going to protect the ksuba. The buyers will collect the ksuba. So then you would be allowed to. You should be allowed to sell it. Right? So again, the case is, we should make her sell the rice to the ksuba. Ah, don't we have a concept you can't stay married if you have no ksuba? That's only because we don't want him to be able to just divorce her because there's no debt. But in this case, he's going to pay a debt, maybe not to his wife, but he's going to pay to the other person who bought the rice to the ksuba. So she should be allowed to sell the tovas another ksuba. And that's how she should pay for the chavala. So then the Gemara says it must be, no, the reason why we don't suggest that she sell the tovas hana of the ksuba to pay for the chavala is because as follows. So we have a concept, the mili, words alone, don't have the ability, there's no shiba, there's no lien on the mili. So the nizak, so the woman hits me, she owes me money. I have a certain shibud on her, she owes me money now. But my shibud doesn't transfer over to her tovas hana, the ksuba. This is a concept, there's no formality, there's nothing concrete about the ability to sell a ksuba. So I can't say you should sell your ksuba rights so I collect money. I don't have that much rights and lien to make her do that. So that's why we don't make her sell the rights to the ksuba.
I don't write a shtar.
But I have no lien on that. I mean, I have lien on her property. So that exists in the property, but she doesn't own her property. Her husband owns the property. So to make her do some other investment or sale, that I don't have much as much of a claim to make her do that. That's what means mili. It's too far removed. It's not concrete enough. So then the Gemara says, "Alamalo, why not? Mili de mizdabne bedinari ninu. It's mili that can be transferred to money. It has value to it. So eina chanami. There's nothing concrete to it, but there's value. You could put value on something, on a concept, on a sale could be valued. So you should make her sell it. That's considered money. So then the Gemara says, you know why? We don't make her sell the rights to the ksuba. Ela mishum de Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel holds, Hamocher shtar chov lechavero v'chazar u'machlo machl. Afilu yarsh machl. It's a big, I'm going to call him a Russia, but a mean thing to do. What happens is, I have, the bank owes me $100,000. So I sell, Ezra here, I'll sell you the rights, the note. So, okay, fine, you give me $1,000, and the note, you can collect $100,000, a great investment for you. And I say to the bank, you know what, my mocha, you don't have to pay me back anymore. Which means you don't get paid back. So you're down $1,000 and you lost it. So what's going to happen is the husband owes $200 to the wife. She sells the rights to some other guy, to Andy. So now the husband says, I'm going to mocha. So he paid $50 and now I'm mocha on the $200. He loses out. He doesn't collect it. So we don't want to put the lokeach, poor Andy, trying to make it some extra bucks here, and he's going to lose out. So for that reason, we don't allow her to sell the rights to the ksuba. And even the yorish, even though when the husband dies, the son's able to be mochel the dead as well. So therefore, we don't allow to sell the rights to the ksuba. So the Gemara says, why not? Amri, let's say, zvune zavin v'titela. Why not? V'machlele l'gave bal timchala. Let it be. Well, so bad. Too bad for Andy. That was part of the risk. When he made the investment, he valued the price, so he understood there's a possibility there could be mochel in the chov. That was his loss. But at least for the poor nizak who got punched in the face by the wife, so let her make her sell the rice to the ksuba, pay the money to the poor guy, and Andy just made a bad investment. We didn't force him into it. He willingly bought the rights, knowing there's a possibility it could be mochel. So the Gemara says, no, because it's not only a possibility that the husband's going to be mochel. Ami kol legave baal vade machalei. The husband will definitely mochel. Why would the husband want to continue to pay the ksuba? He understands he pays the ksuba to the wife. There's a certain agreement. When she sell, rather the wife, I'm saying, the wife is the one who's mochel the ksuba here. The wife is owed $200. So she, I'm the wife now, I sell to Andy. And then I say to the husband, don't pay me the money, meaning don't pay Andy the money. So now she says, certainly regarding her husband, she'll say, don't pay the money to Andy, I don't need the money, I'm not getting it anyways. And she'll vade be mochel. So that's putting Andy at a vade loss here. It's called asadani vafsadinu lahayizvina biyadayim, lafsadinu. We don't create a situation where she'll vada be mafsed Andy 100%. Why would she make her husband pay the money? That means she loses out the money that she would have otherwise get to use. So that's vada. That's why we don't allow her to pay or make her. We don't allow her to sell the tovas hanah, the ksuba, in order to pay the money to the nizak. The Gemara says maybe the chitim, and maybe you should suggest zvine nehele lahud chavlebe b'tovas hanah. Maybe she shouldn't sell to Andy. She should sell to the guy who she hit in the face. So I'm the girl, I hit him in the face, I owe him $100. So now I have no money to pay. Next thing, Malug is owned by my husband. So what I should do is, I should sell the rights, the ksuba, to him, the guy who I hit. Why? How's that going to help? De'i mochla legabe bal lo kamafsid. If I mochla to my husband, don't pay me the money, it's not considered hefsed. D'ha shenami lo mide kayahavile. Either way, if I do nothing, I hit him in the face, I don't owe money. Isha, pigasim bera b'isha, pigasim bera isha, it's a ra. What was the line again? Eved b'isha pigasim ra. Any encounter with the wife, with the woman's bad news. So I hit him, I owe him nothing. So now, at least let me sell the ksuba to him, and there's a possibility that he'll get paid. There's a possibility he'll get paid. So maybe you should suggest that. So the Gemara says, "Sof sof kol agave bal vade machla." No, because I'm still avada vimochel on my husband. So he's going to lose out the $25 he paid me for the rights to the ksuba. And v'atshuchinu bedina michdi lo matshuchinim. We're not going to make Beisdin sell the documents and approve the selling of my ksuba to him. If it's vada, I'm going to be mochel my husband. They won't have to pay me or him. That means we got Beis Din to convene for no reason. That's a tircha. We don't make Beis Din matrichan bichti for no reason. So for that reason, there's no way to sell the tovas and the ksuba, and that's why we say she doesn't pay anything to the niza.
Why don't we just say that she had sold the ksuba to somebody else before she hit the guy? Mm-hmm. So she had sold her tovas and already. Could be a case where she sold that tovas anah.
No, we're trying to create money for the nizak, the guy she punts. How do you create money? The fact that she sold it in the past, that's not going to create money for her now to pay him. So she has no money to pay. So that's why it's pegiyas and ra. So Ella, hadetani the brayso that says v'chein hi shechavla bebayla. Let's say she hits her own husband. Lo hifsida ksubasa. She doesn't lose out on her ksuba. Amai tizvanina nehele l'ksubasa. Lebaila, b'tovasana, b'hachava. Right. Dimachla legave baal lekapseda. Because if she's mochel to the husband, don't pay me the ksuba, it's fine. There's no pseda at all. He gained by not having to pay her back the money. So and therefore, what's the question? So we say again, if she hits the husband, the braisa says she doesn't lose her ksuba. And we say, why not? She should sell the ksuba to the husband, and the husband shouldn't have to pay her. Right. Now, she hits him $200 in the face, breaks his nose, I'm not paying the ksuba anymore. So then Gemara says, the reason why we don't allow that to happen is because vada ha vada Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. The Amar asr lal adam sheyishahe es isha afilu sheachas blo ksubasa. Because now, if he doesn't owe her any money in the ksuba, he's going to just divorce her, right? Time of my, kidei shelo tehei kalabein avlotzia. So she shouldn't be in the mind, so she shouldn't be viewed as just a burden. Let me get rid of her. I don't owe her any money anymore because she hit me. I owe her no ksuba. So we want him to always have that debt in mind, so he should think twice before divorcing her. Here, actually, he's going to make money. If he sells her off and divorces her, rather, we know the Mishnah said when she gets divorced, she owes any money. So anybody she hits while she's married, she's pater. But the moment she gets divorced or widowed, she has to go pay back all those debts. So now he's going to divorce her and now collect the money off of her. So therefore, we say, no, she doesn't lose a ksuba. She still owes that ksuba. Ihachi, that's the case. Hashtanami, now as well, migari shela, let her divorce her. Vigavi la bechavle minei. So what's the idea? So even, let's say there's a ksuba. Let's say she owes a ksuba. So let her pay the he paid the ksuba out there $200, but now he's gonna collect back from her the chavala that she owed him. And he'll break even. So Gemara says, no, kigon de nafish ksubasa, where he owes more ksuba than she owes him. So she hit him $2 worth. And he owes her $200. It's not worth him losing $200 of the ksuba to collect $2 on that. Right? So Gemara says, Mishum Haupurta lo mafsit tuva. To make that $2 back from her, it's not worth losing $200 of the ksuba. So that's the situation.
I'll stay with
her. Right, okay, I'll stay with her, right? Ksubasa ksuba der aisa. So now let's say the ksuba is more than the ksuba der aisa. Right, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi just says in the top line here, Idinafisha ksubasa miksuba der aisa, shekasa the psula yosumi masayim. The psula gets 200. Ulamana yosumi mea 100. So if you write more than that, harui lamina Torah, amai lo hafsida. Let's say the ksuba is written that he owes her $500, which is more than the deraisa requirement. So then let's say, nokma ksuba deraisa. What we should do is make her lose the surplus. So he'll still owe her the base $100 or the $200 that he'll owe her. So you still have that, still fulfilling Rabbi Meir's shita of asla adam sheisha esisha afil sha'achas. He still has a ksuba, he owes her. But the surplus that he had promised her from when they got married, the $300 extra, let her lose that amount to balance out what she had damaged him. And she'll still be down $200 of the ksuba, and that will be fine to continue to stay married. Right, so again, no k'me ksuba deraisa. Let him owe her still that initial $200 from the ksuba deraisa. V'idach, the surplus, tizbane nehele b'chavala, and let her sell it back to her husband and cancel out for what she had damaged him. So then the Gemara says, no, kigon dilo nafisha ksubasa m'ksuba deraisa. So we're talking about a situation where, no, he didn't add anything else. He just gave her the baseline $200 in the ksuba. So the chavala he owes her is very, that she owes him is very small. She gave him a $5 hit in the face, that's all. So he owes her $200 from the ksuba deraisa. So it's not worth him selling, divorcing her to pay $200 of the deraisa to collect the $5 of the chavala. That's what the Gemara says. The ha ve chavala arba zuze. The amount that she owes him from the chavala is only 4 zuz. The mishim arba zuze, that amount of money, lo mafsid esim v'chamishi. He's not going to lose 25 zuz what he owes in the ksuba. So that's why we say, if she damages him, she doesn't lose the ksuba still stays in place. Ella, how the Tanya the Brisa which tells us Kashem Shlo Timcher Vihitachtav Kachlo Tapsid Vihitachtav. So just like we say when she doesn't sell and she's still married to him, Kachlo Tapsid Vihitachtav. So too, what's going on here? Let's see.
It says,
right, so she can't sell when she's still married. She doesn't lose a ksuba because the chavala as well. Yeah, just like when she sells it, she doesn't lose out. She's not able to sell it. So too, we don't make her sell it. We don't make her mafsid, her ksuba, when she's a chovel. And he tachtav.
Just like she can't sell the whole thing, she can't sell part of it.
Well, look at Rashi. See Rashi, 5 narrow lines down, he says, k'shem shelo timchor. K'sak k'day tech, the havimin is here, hachi kamar. Kishem she'ini yechol limkor be'oda tachtav. She can't sell the ksuba when she's still married to him. Kach lo tapsin miksubasa klum b'shul shim chavala v'nezek shetazik be'oda tachtav. We also don't make her lose mafsid the ksuba. She can't sell the ksuba, any part of it, and we also don't make her be mafsid it when she, even if she causes a chavala. V'ha, but what do you mean? V'ha, zim nem mishkachach la mafsid. Aren't there certain situations where she is mafsid it? Meaning what? Hey Chidami, what's the case? Kigon dimnafisha ksubasa miksubas deraisa. When the ksuba is more than what's needed on the deraisa level, when the ksuba is written $500 as opposed to the $200, so there we are mafsid her the ksuba, right? So we said above again that if the whole alkimta was where the ksuba deraisa, there was no surplus from the ksuba deraisa. That implied though, if there had been a surplus in the ksuba, she would have to lose out that $300 extra to cover the chavala that she did to him. So the Gemara says, so this is not a true statement that we don't make her be mafsid her ksuba. We do make her mafsid her ksuba when there's surplus and she causes damage. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava. Rava says, Seifa asan l'ksuba is binin dichrin. This line is referring to a particular type of ksuba, which is binin dichrin, it's called v'halchi katani. The way you read it is as follows. Kishem shamacheretz ksubasa la'acherim lo hifsida ksuba is binin dichrin. The halacha is as follows. that when she sells a ksuba to somebody else, or she dies, so she has this bin, ksuba's bin dirham, which means that her children always collect her ksuba, even after she dies. She has the right to that ksuba. So let's say the wife dies, and the husband has a second wife, he has two wives, and they have a bunch of children. That children, all the children divide their father, they share the same father, divide the father's yusha. But there's a ksuba bin dirham, where each set of sons, though, collect the amount of ksuba left over from their mother, each one of the mother. So let's say each mother leaves $200 left, and that goes to the husband. The husband's yorish. Then the husband dies, the father dies, so they each collect $200 first from their mother's ksuba, and then the rest of the yerusha is divided evenly amongst all the 10 kids. That's what ksuba's bin dirham is. So what the braisa should be read is something completely different now. It's being read. I'm reading the Gemara once again. Kishem shamocheres ksubas alacherim. When she sells a ksuba to some other person, lo hifsida ksubas bin indichin, that her children always have rights to collect that their mother's ksuba, even after she dies, and even though she sells it. So too, so she. That's what the line means. My time. What's the reason? Because zuze hudan sua. The mother only sold the ksuba because she had no money. She was such an honest. She was so desperate for money. So we're not going to make the children lose out as well. The children have some string attached to that ksuba that she sold off. So here too as well, kach mocheres ksuba salabayla. So too when she sells the ksuba to her own husband, because she had damaged him, whatever the case might be, also lo hifsida ksuba salabinandichim. The sons also get to collect the amount of money after their father died. They could collect the ksuba from him. Why? My time as Zuzu Hudansua. Because she was so desperate for money, that's why she sold it to her other party, she sold it to her husband, therefore ksuba's bin dirchen continue that the sons can still collect the ksuba. Completely different topic. Fine. Either way, we see from all this that Tekanas Usha is what it stands. We see that the woman, the Isha, is not able to sell any of the property. She can't sell Nichsim Malug, she can't sell Tuas Anata from the ksuba. Now the Gemara suggests Lema Tekanas Usha Tanai. Maybe this whole discussion of Tekanas Usha, this whole concept, is really Machlokas Tanayim. The Tani, the one Brisa holds Avde Malug Yotzin B'Shein V'Ayin. What's Avde Malug? When she has this Nechsim Malug that she brings into the marriage, there's Avadim as part of that. So the halacha is that we know if an Adon knocks out the Shainer Ayin, the eye or tooth or any other the other 24 Evarim as listed by in the Mishnah, then he goes free. So the Gemara says now, again, one brisa tells us, Avde Malug, Yotzin, B'Shein, V'Ayin, L'Isha. If the woman were to knock out the eye or tooth of the Eved goes free. Aval L'Ish. But if the husband knocks it out, he's not considered an Adon. So the Eved doesn't go free. The Tani Idach, yet another brisa says, L'Ish, V'Lo L'Isha. Neither one has the right. Neither one's considered an Adon. So everyone agrees the husband's certainly not considered an Adon. The question is the wife considered an Adon or not? So what's the machlok? Svarua, the initial understanding is, Duchuliam, everybody agrees, Kinin Peir Slav, Kinin Guftami, that the husband who only has rights of the Peros, of the Nichsim Malug, she owns it. But he has the rights to get Peros. Peros is not considered Kinin Guft, he certainly is not considered the Rav, the master. But my lab, what's the machlokis then? Whether the wife is able to be considered a master, the Adon. Demand Amar Leisha, less like Takanas Usha. The one that holds that the wife, if she knocks out the eye or tooth, he would go free because there's no Takanas Usha. Meaning she sells it, there's no strings attached. She has full rights to sell it. There's no Takanas Usha, so she's an Adon and the Eved goes free. The other Brisa holds though, Demand Amar Lo Leisha, even the wife is not considered Adon because it's like Takanas Usha. Even if the wife sells it, the husband can pull it back, so she doesn't have full rights. So she's not considered an Adon. That's what the Gemara suggests is the Machlokas.
Yeah, what about the husband? So then why doesn't the slave go out?
He only has kin and peros. He could stop the sale, but he certainly can't sell it on his own. He could stop the wife's sale, but neither one could sell it anymore. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, that's not the machlokas." Tchuliyama islahu tekanas usha. Everyone agrees tekanas usha that if she sells it, he could pull it back after she dies. Ella kan kodem tekana kan la'acha tekana. Once prior to tekana, where she had the full right, so she was considered adon. But the other bride says after the tekana, which case she no longer has rights. That's one suggestion. V'by same. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests idi v'idi la'acha tekana. Either both cases are after the tekana. Vis lehu tekana usha. They hold of the tekana usha. Both of them. My time. So I understand the one who holds that she's not considered adon because it's tekanas usha. She sells it, he pulls it back. She's not considered a master of the land. But why would you hold that she is considered a master if you hold up tekanas usha? My time. What's the reason? It must be kiderava. The Rava says a statement that's found many places in Shas. Hektesh chametz v'shicher mafkin mide shibud. If I have, let's say, I owe you money, and you have a lien on my property, let's say it's chametz and Pesach comes, the iser chametz undoes your lien. Or if I'm makdish my lien and my property, you lose your shibud. Or if I sell my eved, you have a lien on my eved, I'm meshacher him, I free him, you lose your eved. So suhirte as well, we're saying as follows. The case is here, let's look at Rashi here. So how are we plugging this into our case now? Same as holding a Tekanas Usha. So Tekanas Usha says, let's see. I think the fact that you said, the fact that she's able to sell him.
Slave.
Sorry?
Yeah, what she does, it frees the slave. So that takes away the husband's.
When she knocks out the tooth or the eye, that removes the Tekanas Usha, that removes his shibud he has on that land. That's what's going on. So once he removes the shibud, it goes back to her actual, her real midraisa, she really owns him, and that's why he goes free. Alright, let's stop here. I know this is the Gemara's involved. We'll have to review probably a little bit at the end tomorrow, in the beginning of tomorrow. But let's stop here. Alright, everyone have a wonderful day.
I'm not done with Pesach.
Not done with Pesach.